I believe the two most important characteristics to survive in this business are...
So the big question is, what are top agents doing to absolutely crush it in real estate? To get the answers, we interview the top real estate agents to learn their secrets to success. If you would like one-on-one access to over 26 of the top agents in the country to help you scale your business, then head over to eliteagentsecrets.com/partner, or you can just click the link in the description below.
My name is Andrew Dunn.
And my name is Peter Michael. Welcome to Elite Agent Secrets.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Elite Agent Secrets show. Today we've got Scott Connors with us. He's been in real estate for 13 years, over 900 deals under his belt, 118 million. He's a licensed associate broker in two states and has a team of 25 agents. Today we're going to be discussing how you can survive your first year in real estate. Is the market going to cool? And how to survive with virtually zero marketing budget using referrals and social media. He also did over 80 deals in 2021. So Scott knows what he's talking about. It's going to be a good episode. Scott, thank you for jumping on the show with us today to share your secrets to success. How are you doing, my man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to diving right in.
Let's go.
Today's episode is definitely going to be fun. 900 closings, 118 million. I know it didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen within the last year since you've been in real estate for 13 years. So take us back to that day one. Why were you mad enough to get into real estate 13 years ago?
That's a great question. So my broker is a good friend of mine and had been pretty actively recruiting me for quite a while. I resisted, and finally decided if I wanted to make any real money, this was the path I should take. Previous career was as a home builder, so it gave me a lot of experience around homes and mechanicals. And you know, I went from being in the field swinging a hammer to working sales, running the company. So I feel like it really positioned me well for this business. And I came into a great company, dominant in the marketplace, and my broker really set me up for success. So got off to a pretty fast start. First year, I forget exactly how many deals I did, but by the second year, I was pretty well up and running. You know, one of my favorite things that you guys say, and this is something I say to every new agent I recruit, is that if you're not making $100,000 in this business, you're doing it wrong. And you might want to think about doing something else. That was one of the things that really attracted me to your show, because I feel like for as hard as we work and the expertise we bring, that's a baseline. And so that was my target early on, and I passed that pretty quickly. So,
yeah. Yeah, there's literally our mission statement. Every agent should earn $100,000 and up. Like you said, it's like, why are you in this industry if you want to earn 50 grand? There is a load of way easier jobs you could do to earn that money. Like a shit.
Yeah, that's my quote. I say it all the time. If you're going to go make 50 or 60 grand a year, go do it a lot easier than what it's going to take to do in real estate. So
you drink less panic attacks, less anxiety. Like there's so much stuff you can do and go make 50 grand and sell real estate for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Anecdote I'd like to share: when I first started, you know, I was terrified like everybody else, right? Can I do this? Am I going to be able to make it? I had two small kids and one on the way, and this was my only source of income. So left my job on a Friday, came to work in real estate on a Saturday, and it was go time. So got to work.
Oh, that sounds very familiar. We're laughing at this because that's how I started in real estate a little bit too. But the only difference is I didn't have two at home. I had one at home and expecting the second one.
There you go. So. Parallel stories. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of wiggle room. We had to survive. So I got to work right away. And I remember I was handed a listing early on and went under contract within like the first few days. And I'm driving down the road and I was getting emotional. I was tearing up thinking, wow, I can do this. Like, this has happened. I can't believe it. And thought, also, there was part of me thought, this isn't that hard, right? It was the first week I have a contract. And I think it was 3 days later that deal died because of financing. And I think I had that listing for 2 years before it sold for real. And so it's kind of a, you know, that real initial high. And then I was knocked down to reality pretty quickly and learned what the grind of the business is all about.
Yeah. I know you said you're not 100% sure. When you say second year was up and running, how many deals, even if it was a rough guess, is that like 20? Is that like 30? Okay.
So I got licensed in March of 2009. And by March of 2010, I had 27 pending contracts. At one time, and was totally overwhelmed. Wow. It's actually when I first started hiring staff. So I probably did, going from memory, I probably did 50 or 60 deals that second year.
What?
And I know I broke 100 grand. Now understand, I'm in a pretty small market. So our average or median sale price in the market's about 120, at least it was back then, probably higher now. I tend to sell a little bit above that. But yeah, we work hard for our deals. I do a fair number of $300,000, $400,000 houses, but I do an awful lot of $20,000 and $30,000 deals too.
It's funny you say that because there is a lot, there is big discrepancies in like both of these agent avatars, I will say, both have the skill sets, but there is large discrepancies between an agent that does a lot of volume and does a lot of deals because one has systems and the other doesn't necessarily have to. Because if you can sell a few expensive homes, that you can make up for a lot of volume, right? But yep. In cheaper markets like you, where you're like, I've got to do 90 deals to get a few million in volume, it doesn't do it justice. And I also think like when I grade agents, it's not like I've got that much time in my hand, but for me, it's more of like how many deals are they doing? That really tells you how dialed in they are as a team or brokerage or whatever the case may be, and. Fast forward us to then, the last couple of years, how has the pandemic or post-pandemic, whatever you want to say, been treating you with these? I'm going to hazard a guess. Were they your best 2 years?
Not quite, but they were pretty good. So we were fortunate enough to be deemed essential in both Ohio and West Virginia, which are the two states I work. So I never missed a day of work. I got up every single day, went to the office. In fact, I decided with all this downtime we were surely going to have because of the pandemic, I was going to start to do the some of the projects that I'd been putting off for a long time. So I wanted to get into some training and develop some materials. And I started into that. And about 3 days later, got away from it because I got busy working again. And as soon as we could do showings again, we were doing them. I was listing stuff. Kind of never missed a beat. There was a period of 5 or 6 weeks that was just kind of weird. You know, no one really knew what to do. But now we survived. We thrived. One of my pet peeves in the business is you hear a lot of agents talk about the downtime or the market's cooling or, you know, it's the holidays, so things are going to slow down. So I'm going to take a little bit of time off.
Yeah.
And really look at the numbers. The fluctuation month to month is pretty minimal. It's like 3 or 4%. But the perception is that we do all of our business in the summertime. The spring season is where it's at. And once we hit Halloween or Thanksgiving, everybody stops buying houses. Yeah. And sure enough, those agents who slow down at those times because the market cools, they tend to not do as much business.
Yeah.
If you just get up and go to work every day, there's plenty of business out there year round. And my numbers really don't follow that trend nearly as much as what you would think.
It's funny you say that actually, because seasonality is a great example of kind of what happened during the pandemic, which was people like, let's just buckle down and stop. And then all the serious agents and teams went, well, we'll just keep going. And then what happened is those deals that weren't the one or two that were getting taken by like the part-time agents weren't getting taken. So those big teams that were still doing deals just got all of them. And now they've had 2 years of just like market dominance, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. It's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So I want to dive in to your first topic. This is very tangible for first-year agents. So your first secret to success or the first secret you want to share is how to survive your first year in real estate. So let's unpack that one.
Sure. I do a lot of recruiting. And so I have this conversation often with new agents. And it's really simple. You just got to go to work. I see so many new agents, they get their license. They don't come in the office. If they don't have appointments or showings, it's like they think they have the day off. And from the day I got my license, I got up, I took a shower, I got dressed, and I went to work. And so it seems so simple. But if you treat it like a job, it's going to come around. And it takes a while. But you keep your head down. I believe the two most important characteristics to survive in this business are patience and persistence. You got to be patient. You got to just wait it out, keep going. And then the persistence is the same thing. The spiel I typically give is if you sell a property the day you get your license, which you won't do, you're going to get a paycheck 6 weeks from now. And you will have spent it 3 or 4 times by then because your gas money and your cell phone bill and all the things that we do. And at the 6 month mark, that's when I find that most new agents are ready to hang it up. And I tell them, look, you got to push through this. You got to have a long view. It's going to take you about a year to get your feet under you. And then it's going to start to click. And so that patience and that persistence are absolutely vital. It's vital to survive that first year. It's vital to survive in the business. And it's also vital just doing deals, right? You, as you were out here working in the trenches every day, you got to be patient. You know, you're going to write contracts that don't get through. You're going to have listings that don't sell. You're going to have deals that run into snags. It's the job, right? The job is untangling all that stuff. And if you don't have that patience, you're going to burn out pretty quickly. And the same with the persistence. You know, I've got a deal right now that it just, nothing is going right. I mean, you know, we've all had these, right? Where every time we turn around, there's something else and we think we satisfied and it fell apart again. And you just, you got to keep your head down and stay positive. And this one happens to be an elderly client who's greatly overwhelmed by the entire process. And so my job is to stay calm and walk her through it. And we're going to get it done. But I do see so many agents that don't have that mentality of, this is a long-term thing and there's great money to be had. You can be successful. Boy, you better be patient and you better keep your head down and keep grinding. So those are some of the number one things. I also did, and some of this is kind of old school stuff. And I think we're going to talk about social media at some point. We always talk about social media, right? I do a lot of mailing. I do a lot of snail mail farming. I find it to be the most effective marketing I do. If I grab a neighborhood and send out 200 or 300 letters, I almost always generate a listing out of that. It's the most predictable form of marketing we do, and it's so old school. And I did it from the beginning. I went in the office when I had nothing to do, by the way, as a new agent with no clients. I looked at for sale by owners. I looked at expired listings, and I sent letters, and I tried different letters, and I experimented and found things that worked. And sure enough, you do that long enough and it starts to happen. So those are some of the tips I've always given. And the last one is open houses. And I hate open houses, right? Every agent hates open houses. First 2 years of my career, I did 3 open houses every single Sunday. I did hundreds of them. And many of them, nothing ever happened. But some of them, somebody came through who had a house to sell and they would buy. And I can trace a chain of deals that went on for years back to some of those early open houses. And what I find in new agents often is, I'll say that, look, I did 3. I did from noon to 1:30, 2 to 3:30, 4 to 5:30. That was my Sunday, every single Sunday. And the response I get is, well, I think I'm going to try one. I'm going to do like 12 to 1 or maybe 12 to 2, and I'll see how it goes. They do that one open house, nobody shows up, and they never do it again. And it's such a mistake. They're missing such an opportunity. Now, I don't do open houses now. I hate them, right? And the same thing goes with some of the farming that we do. I trained to do a lot of farming, and we'll do, you know, the 200 letters, and nothing comes of it. And I'll say, well, then do 2,000 letters and tell me nothing comes of it, right? If you're going to do 200 and stop, it's not going to work. You got to pound it and pound it and pound it, and you will find the business. It is out there.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in here and let you know, if you would like access to over 26 of the top agents in the country to help you scale your business, then head over to eliteagentsecrets.com/partner, or you can just click the link in the description below. Now back to the show.
God, where do I start? I feel like I want to unpack back to your first tip, but since we're talking about the letters and everything, what kind of letters are you finding are working the best? Is it just like a standard little mailer? Are you putting out like a legitimate letter that looks like it's handwritten? Tell us a little bit about that, because we're all taught, you know, circle prospecting, you know, farming and mailing and open houses. But I think all of these things kind of like you can stack them, right? Like if you're going to be circle prospecting a certain area, why not do open houses in that area? Why not do door knocking in that area? Why not, you know, cold call in that same area as well?
So I agree with that 100%. And I've never done door knocking. I can tell you that. It's not a thing I've ever done. I've done some door hangers, you know, just walk neighborhoods. The most effective letter I've found by far is the simplest. It's about 4 sentences, maybe, you know, a paragraph and a half. Hey, I've got a client who's looking for a home in your neighborhood. And based on public records, it looks like yours looks like something that might work. They're pre-qualified. And if you've thought about selling, give me a call. I'd love to talk with you. And that's it. And back in the old days, I did, you know, 2-page letters with bullet points about my team and all the different marketing and all these different things. The number one most effective letter I've got is, I've got a client who's looking in your neighborhood. If you're thinking about selling, give me a call. It works.
And for everybody who's listening, who's saying, but I don't have a client who's looking in that neighborhood, what would you tell them?
So I'm always honest about it. Okay. I don't want to be that guy that's making that up. You have buyers, right? Who in this market doesn't have a buyer who can't find a house? If that's the case, I'd like to talk to you, because, you know, we've all got buyers we can't find a house for. So pick one. Just pick a buyer. You pick a good one who's really ready to go and send a letter. And you can stretch it a bit, right? And a buyer looking for 3 bedrooms in a certain neighborhood, you tell me you can't go find a couple hundred homes that on paper look like they fit? You know, it's just not that hard. So I'm always honest about it. And I would suggest, if you don't truly have a buyer for a particular neighborhood, don't send a letter. But you've got buyers, figure out where they want to be. By the way, the other thing this does, I always tell my buyers I'm doing it. And it really speaks to them that I'm working hard for them as their agent. It's a powerful tool.
Wow. And then I know you touched on this and you went through this very quickly, but you said 3 open houses in one day. Fuck, I'm trying to figure out how to do 1 or 2, but 3. What were the times again? You said 11 to 1.
I did 12 to 1. I did 12 to 1:30, 2 to 3:30, and 4 to 5:30. Hour and a half. Okay.
So they're very quick. They're very short. I'm used to having like 2, 3, 4 hour windows. So let's unpack that a little bit for anybody who is like, yeah, open houses are going to be my go-to thing, because I've done open houses. I've double-ended deals because of open houses. I have a listing right now and I'm literally beating the open houses right now, and I'm picking up 2, 3, 4 people every time, you know, that are unrepresented that walk through.
Right.
So first of all, why are your open houses so short, and are you doing them at different properties? My assumption is yes. If so, why?
So, you know, I never really thought that through. I don't do this anymore. This is something I did years ago, but it was very effective. I talk to sellers all the time about open houses now, and I don't like them. I explain to sellers that open houses are a terrible way to sell your house and a great way for me to grow my business, because I'm going to meet every buyer that comes through the door. And if they're not represented, I'm going to make them my client. And by the way, sellers really appreciate that honesty. And I believe that's really what open houses are about. The number one agent in our market owns open houses. He does them constantly. He does hour-long open houses, and he does them back to back. So he's always late for the next one. He leaves one 5 minutes early, gets to the next one 5 minutes late. He's done it for decades. He's built his business on it. So I would say the answer to that is what I like about it. And again, when I was doing this, it was really pre-social media, as far as it was early, right? That allows me to get signs up in 3 different neighborhoods. I get directionals up. I get balloons up in 3 different neighborhoods around town. And it shifts around every single week. And so that alone has an impact, you know, getting my name out there. If I was doing that today in social media, of course, every one of those open houses gets its own posts and gets its own push. And I would suggest that if there's a buyer out there looking to walk into a house, they're going to get there. If you give them an hour and a half to get in, they're going to get there. And if not, they're going to call me and want to see it anyway. So I would argue that I don't see any reason in going any longer than that. Just getting my signs out in 3 different neighborhoods each Sunday was great. And my routine was simple. I would do the open houses, scoop the signs up on my way out, throw them in my trunk. And on Tuesday of the next week, I was back out putting them out for the next one. So I'm also getting a week's worth of advertising out there in the world for these 3 open houses that I did.
Oh, interesting. So you would put them out on what, Saturday, Sunday, and you would just leave them there?
I'll put them out Tuesday for the following Sunday. So I'm driving around on Tuesday, sticking directionals up and maybe not balloons because they wouldn't last, but.
Okay. So your strategy is vastly different, because our strategy is, you know, put out 15, 20, 25 open house signs the morning of, which takes like an hour. Mm-hmm. Then because I'm in Florida, I have to have another shirt because I'm probably drenched by the time I'm done doing that. Yeah. I get in. But I'm assuming you have like the address and you have the times and you have the date on your open house signs as well, which I don't. I just have basically directionals.
Just directionals. But again, depending on where you place them, I live in a small town, small area. It's a bunch of small towns. Everybody knows what's for sale. So if I put a directional at a certain intersection, and if not, what are they going to do? They're going to drive back and see what's for sale. They're going to see my sign. So I would do a directional at the major intersections. And then at the house itself, I would stick a sign writer on top that, you know, blasted out the times of the open house coming up on Sunday. And then on Sunday, by the way, I would occasionally go out and do balloons or streamers or something to, you know, jazz it up a little bit. It just became part of my weekly routine. And because they never left my car, I never changed the times, I was able to recycle those signs every single week. And you know, also on Tuesday, a lot of times I'm out anyway. So I'm out running around. I would, okay, let's do this one and that one, get the signs up and go for it.
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Fire away.
For the new agents that are listening, if you were to say this is the one strategy that I would stick to for going and get your first deals and surviving the first year and getting something under your belt, what would you kind of put your hat on and go, that's the one that I would tell new agents to go for and go all in on?
I think I would do the open house strategy and I would leverage it on social media as hard as I could. When I did my first week, I left my job on Friday. On Saturday, I was picking up signs at the office to do my first open houses the following day on Sunday. I didn't have any listings, but there are agents all over the office who will let you have their houses open. It makes their sellers happy. Why wouldn't they, right? So I did other agents' houses for weeks until I started to get my own inventory. And then when I got those first listings, that one I told you about that went under contract and fell through, I probably should have put a cot in that place. I practically lived there. I mean, I probably had that thing open 50 times. But why not? You know, it was a work day. I take my laptop, I'm working, and if someone shows up, I talk to them.
It's funny because the first five deals wasn't even one or two. It was the first five Peter got was from one open house. And we filled it using social media.
What's your strategy though, Scott? Like somebody comes in, because I have my own strategy, but how do you get them to work with you, right? Because a lot of agents that I talk to and that I train, they literally say like, oh, I don't even have a sign-in sheet. I just let people walk through and do nothing. Well, then, yeah, because a lot of people bitch, well, open houses don't fucking work. No, it's that you don't know how to work fucking open houses. So yeah. Like, what was your strategy to get people to work with you? Because I think that's the big part for the disconnect is a lot of people say open houses don't work. They don't work. And I tell my clients the same thing. I'm here to make money. Your house, the odds of me selling your house is less than 1%. So I'm here and I'm honest and I'm transparent like you are. But how does somebody, like if they're getting volumes through, how did you go about like getting contact information or what was your strategy to help them work with you? Because I think that's the meat and potatoes. What people don't understand is how do you do that?
So for me, first of all, I think the real power today is the leverage you get on social media. As a brand new agent who no one knows you're in the business, you should be posting that thing, you know, go out on Tuesday or Wednesday and do a video walkthrough and talk about your open house coming up on Sunday. You should be hammering that thing out there all week long to promote yourself as, hey, here's this guy. He's really working hard out there. At the open house itself was very simple. I had a simple sign-in sheet and I was hands-off initially every time. Every time somebody walked in the door, hey, I'm Scott. Welcome to the house. Have a look around. I'm here if you have any questions. I'm not going to follow you around and harass you. And I would back off and I would really back off. And every single time they would come back around. And just simple questions. It was basic sales, right? So have you guys been looking for very long? Do you have any thoughts on this one? This isn't right. What are you looking for? And then, you know, are you working with anyone? And we go into, let me help you out. And I remember that first Monday, I had a sheet of six names to call. I was in the business for 48 hours. I had six clients to call. And I just took and ran with it from there.
I think the number one thing that I changed my tune when I was doing them is everybody wants to give their fucking feedback and tell you what they think. Every single person loves. So I actually have in my sign-in sheet when people come in, I kind of ask them where they heard the open house from because it kind of says where they're at, how many they're looking at today, how many houses they've looked at. So I really cut in to try to see like, hey, are they working with a realtor right out of the gates? Because if you have four or five groups in there, you really got to hone in on the people that, you know, aren't working with real estate agents. But then when they come by, one of my favorite things, I say the same thing like, hey guys, look around for my seller. My seller always wants to know feedback. So if you can think of three pros and three cons of what it is, and then I actually get them to sign up the sheet and almost everybody signs the sheet because they want to give the pros and cons. So they write down at the top, like the three things they liked, the three things they didn't like. Really, I'm just trying to start a conversation with these people and figure out what they're looking for. And it opens the dialogue. And as soon as I started asking on my sign-in sheets, three pros and three cons, my numbers skyrocketed because it really engages people to talk with you.
That's a great idea. I love that.
God, look at that. I like that idea too, Brad. Peter, get those on our sign-in sheets.
It's funny that both of you that are top producing agents are saying this because I never had a sign-in sheet. And if I did, nobody would sign it. And the moment I started putting in request, like feedback request forms, I get that thing filled out every single time, every single person. Sometimes I can't read their contact info. Hopefully I can get the numbers right, but then it allows me to hone in. But I think I need to expand my feedback request form a little bit because I just have like a scale 1 to 5, like curb appeal, interior, exterior. But I like the pros and cons, Brad, that you're talking about as well, because it just allows them to expand and tell you what the actual problem is. So you don't have to then think about it when you're speaking with your sellers. It's right there. You scan the form and send it to them.
The other thing too is sometimes to a certain extent, I play dumb on my own listings because some people like asking questions and I know the answer, but I'm like, you want to know what? I'm not 100% sure.
Let me get back.
And then I say, let me take your name and number. Of course, I know the fucking answer. It's my listing, but that's not the point, right? It's I pretend because I get more information. And I haven't handed out a business card. So for new agents, take it for what it is. I never hand out a business card. And the number one reason why is because in my years when I used to hand them out, not one single person called me from handing out a business card. So now I don't carry them around because I'm in charge of asking them for their contact information. So that way I'm in control of contacting them. Because a lot of agents are like, I handed out 20 business cards today. Great. So you did nothing. Like, you know, like if you got 20 people's contact information, that's something you can dive into and try to get business from. So Anyways, a little tip of advice for open houses too. I never hand out business cards. People always ask me, like, oh, it's been so busy doing open house. You know, I ran out. / you're the only person that's ever come. But it's just, you just make sure that I don't pass them out. I just want to be in control of contacting people so that way I can offer them service.
Yeah. And I just want to drop the bomb for our audience. This is a paid podcast on how to win every fucking open house. The pay barrier to entry is $9.99. You'll find the link in the description below. What I want to do, that was insane. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you would like one-on-one access to over 26 of the top agents in the country to help you scale your business, then head over to eliteagentsecrets.com/partner, or you can just click the link in the description below.